Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. And the title of this message is simply, Keeping the House Till the Lord Comes. The importance of keeping the house, if you will, till the Lord comes. Jesus said, But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus is saying that he does not know that day and that hour, but he is serving notice on them, the people that he was speaking to, and us, that a day and an hour is coming when it will all be over. And everybody here and everybody who has ever lived will have to give an answer to God. Amen, somebody. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, the judgment of the flood came, they were eating and drinking. Nothing wrong with eating and drinking, unless you're eating and drinking too much. All doctors will tell you that eating too much will kill you. Drinking too much, that is alcohol, wine, will kill you. A little moderate appetites, a moderate amount of food, and a moderate amount of wine, one glass a night for most people, with your meal is healthy for you. It's good for you. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's certainly nothing wrong with marrying a man and a woman getting together. Most movies, I don't care if it's an action movie, is going to have a man and a woman getting together. The other day we just kind of channel surfing, ran across the San Andreas movie, and while buildings were falling down and people were running for their lives, people were looking at each other googly-eyed, talking about you're just wonderful and I love you, and taking time to kiss while they were getting ready, almost about to die with the water rising. So in every movie you're going to find some romance between Adam and Eve, and let's be clear, not Adam and Steve. Adam and Eve, a man and a woman, is a beautiful thing. It's still the most beautiful thing on earth. That's why folks write books about it and write movies and make movies about it. I don't care if it's the Titanic. You would think that it would be about the ship sinking, but it was really about the love story between a man and a woman. Even to this day, when we think about the Titanic, the first scene that comes to mind is DiCaprio and the beautiful young lady who was with him standing at the front of the ship, just living it up. We don't think about the ship sinking, we think about them, man and a woman getting together. It's a beautiful thing, and it's still beautiful. Even the Bieber, getting ready, he has truly fallen in love with another Christian young lady. Her father's a Christian, and he's walking around New York with Tim Keller's book on marriage. People are getting married still today. One of the biggest businesses in the country is the marriage business. It's a multi-billion dollar business. And so folks are getting married just as they were before the judgment of the flood. They were eating and drinking, marrying, and fathers were giving their daughters in marriage until that day, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The party was over. And one day the party will be over down here with us all. One day it's going to be over. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, folks are going to be eating at Chipotle's and it's going to be over. And they're not going to know what's going on. What is this? What's happening? I was just sitting here enjoying my meal and eating and drinking and thinking about getting married, and all of a sudden the party is over. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch. Boom, there you go. Watch. You need to be watching. Some of you people are depressed, defeated, and disgusted because you're not busy watching. My oldest daughter just got back from India, and she told me one of the greatest things that she learned and saw over there is the big difference between people who have hope in God, in Christ, and people who don't. She said it was heartbreaking to see so many hopeless people. And she is right. Watch, therefore. Some of you are depressed, defeated, and sad because you're not watching. You have no hope. You have no hope in God. You claim to be a Christian. You claim to be a part of the family of God, but you don't act like it. You're not looking for Jesus to come back. You're not expecting him to come back. You're not looking for the end to come. You're concerned about and worried and fretting about how you're going to make it right now. Why is this not working out for me? One of the reasons why things are not working out for you, because you don't believe in God. You don't trust in God. You don't have faith in God. And the proof of that is because you don't believe the word of God. See, if you believed in God and you believed in Christ as you say you do, you would do what God has told you to do. You would pray and you would watch. And you would be expecting the Lord to come back at any time, particularly, we're not talking about it right now, but in the rapture. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come. There's some things you don't know. And as somebody said a long time ago, you don't know what you don't know. And that's a very dangerous thing. You don't know when the Lord's going to come back. And you don't know when you're going to die. You can leave here today. Just last night, who would have thunk it? A man who works on the ground at the airport, no one knew he could fly a plane. But evidently he has been looking at YouTube videos or something, because he stole a plane and flew it around. And some say he committed suicide, but maybe he couldn't land the thing. I don't know. He's dead today. He is dead today. Just yesterday, a famous man went to Trump Tower in New York, and he was fine, and took a little medication for some pain, and he didn't wake up. His wife, a girlfriend who was with him, realized that he was dead and had to call the authorities. Rich, famous, got it going on in the prime of life, fit as he could be. But he took something and it didn't jive with him, and he is gone out into eternity today. You could die today. You can leave here this weekend. There's nothing that can stop, nothing that you can do to stop death once death has a line on you. And when death knocks on your door, you will answer. It makes no difference whether you're black or white, whether you are part of Black Lives Matter or the white nationalists. You will die and you will get up out of here. And by the way, people are dying left and right. So your day may come before the rapture. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house that had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. Are you ready? For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And the church said, Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to be here once again. We praise you and we thank you for your everlasting mercy, your love, and your grace. We praise you and we thank you for salvation full and free through your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for giving us a heart and mind to start the day earlier, Lord, reading your holy word and praying to you, and to continue to do so even now. For Lord, I cannot explain it. No one can, but you do something special in the hearts of your people if they can just get themselves under the sound of your holy word and under the sounds of the songs of Zion. It has a rejuvenating effect. It has a reviving effect. It certainly has a reminding effect. It has a way of reminding us of what is truly important, as we, so many of us, are caught up in the rat race of human existence. We individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as we from our hearts by your grace forgive those who have sinned against us. And Holy Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts through your holy word. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and anybody who looks like him or acts like him from this place and this time. Glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, keeping the house till the Lord comes. Part 4. Sean O'Connell said you can just sit back and right there, yeah, and relax. Sean O'Connell said the most neglected theme in the modern church is the theme of judgment. The second most neglected theme is the theme that the church shall be judged. Judgment must begin at the house of God. The third most neglected theme is the theme that the individual Christian shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what he has done with his life after he trusted Christ as Savior and with the gifts that God has given to him or her. Other than a few short lines in a few verses, the emphasis Jesus gives in our text today to his second coming is not that necessarily of salvation, but of judgment. Is he right about what he said? Yes, he is. You say, preacher, how do you know? Well, just ask yourself. When was the last time in your church, which many churches today are caught up in entertaining people and coming up with gimmicks to get people into the pews, when was the last time you've heard a sermon on these judgments? But judgment is coming. From this parable, we have talked about the importance of keeping the house of our bodies, the house of our minds, free from sin in light of the suddenness of the Lord's coming. We have been encouraged to be ready. We have been encouraged to always be watching. In the business world, the mantra is always be closing to make the sale. Well, in the Christian world, it should be always be watching and praying. We have also talked about the importance of keeping the house of our families. And oh, that is extremely important, which the devil, of course, is actively trying to destroy. And sadly, so many Christians don't understand that dynamic. And their families are being destroyed and dismantled piece by piece, little by little, and they don't know it. Much of the turmoil in churches today is not because the church does not have the right program. Everybody knows that the church program is very simple and should be very simple. It's not complicated. The problem in the church today is the family is in disarray. Where art thou, Adam? We can't find Adam. Eve is over there with the devil, and the children have not, some of them have not even been born. Those who have been born, they have been neglected and left to themselves with silly-minded parents who think them standing up on the couch and saying, no, I'm not coming, is cute, and they giggle and laugh while they're cooking the food for this growing devil in their house. And that same child they thought was cute at 2 and 3, talking back to them and snatching their hands from them and not coming to them, when he turns 14 or even younger, 15, 16, you're going to have a monster on your hands that you will not have any, you will not be able to do anything with. The devil is destroying your family because you refuse to obey the word of God. You refuse to do it God's way. And that's why you want a boyfriend. That's why you want a girlfriend, sir. Because you're not doing it God's way. This is why people are leaving their marriages. And some are leaving their marriages right there in the house. And are being constantly bombarded with temptations because they don't want to do it God's way. They don't want to do it the right way. And then when it all falls apart, you want to throw a pity party and you want others to feel sorry for you. And then you want somebody to come pick up the pieces. And somebody will. There's always a little weak man who will come by and pick up the pieces and come after a husband. There's some little wicked woman who will come by and pick up the pieces after a wife is gone. And it is tragic. And because what happens after that, and just this past week, preacher married to a Christian woman. Another woman came on the scene. She was married as well. In fact, the preacher married them. And now both are divorced. And they've done one of the craziest things I've ever heard of. The husband took two children, and the wife took two children. That comes straight from hell, people. It'll be better for them to stay together and raise those children for the glory of God themselves. And yes, the children are worth staying together for, you selfish, little rebellious Christian person. You're just selfish, and you want to have what you want, and as far as you're concerned, to hell with the children. It's all rooted in pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness and meanness and selfishness. And yet you call yourself a child of God. Yet you call yourself a preacher. Yet you call yourself a Christian wife. And this happens in churches across the country. And we have weak back pastors who let it happen. Some encourage it to happen. Were you able to hear me? Some encourage it to happen. Some make provisions for it to happen by forming little divorce clubs called divorce care, and on and on. Isn't it sad how we accommodate our sin? We accommodate our foolishness and our rebelliousness and our stubbornness and our evil. Reminds me of that story about the frog. So many Christians would not jump into hot boiling water, but so many, like that frog, will allow themselves to be boiled to death, not even knowing, not even aware of what's going on. Why? Because they're not watching. And we can play games and say, que sera, sera. It just didn't work out. I never saw myself in this situation, but I'm in it now. And the reason why is because you were not watching. You were too busy trying to be somebody as a preacher. You were too busy trying to make a name for yourself. You stood for all the right things, but you were not standing for God in your own family. And now your family has been destroyed and dismantled by the devil. Whatever happened to what we used to say so many years ago with Joshua? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at the importance of keeping another house, the Lord's house. Jesus said, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. The tragedy of not watching. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You say, preach, I like to have fun. Can you have fun and watch? Yes, of course. Preach, I have a passion that I love. I love doing this. I love boating. I love this. Can I do that and watch? Yes, you can. Why can't you? Preach, I love having fun with my family and going camping and going on vacations. Can I watch it while I'm doing that? Yes, of course. If you go by my little motto that I have shared with so many people in the past, it's okay to celebrate, it's okay to have a good time, but always watch that devil over there in the corner. And always be watching for the Lord and what he wants done and his second coming. Just understand that as King Solomon so wisely told us, being the wisest man who ever lived, you will give an account at the judgment for what you did with the life that God gave you. Many people go to church today to see and to be seen. It's like a social club. They used to go to the community center to have a shindig. Now they go to church. Some go to say they have been, to satisfy their conscience, or to satisfy their mother or father. But our relationship with the church, the Lord's house, must be radically different. And it will be radically different if you're truly born again and saved and obedient and watching. We must embody the spirit of Christ, who, as he was cleansing the temple, reminded his disciples of Psalm 69:9. Zeal for thine house has eaten me up. There was a time, so many of you, and you know it's true, you had a zeal for the house of God. You were on fire and ready to go. You didn't even have a car, but you were there Sunday morning for so-called Sunday school and worship service. You stayed around in fellowship, didn't want to leave because of the powerful afterglow of the Holy Spirit, and you would stay in the parking lot and chat and talk with the brothers and sisters in Christ another hour or two. And guess what? You came back at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock that night. Some of you went back to BTU training, Baptist Training Union, that's what it is called. Or you came back at 7 o'clock for the service. Don't tell me you didn't do it, because I know you did it. When you were first born again, when you were wrapped up in that first love. Some of you sitting here today, you tell the truth. You were more excited about serving the Lord 10 years ago than you are today. Some of you are not praying or watching as you were back then. Some of you used to get mad when we did not have certain services or do certain things, when you couldn't serve. And now you're glad when we don't have something for you to do. That's why the young lady connected with Andre Crouch sung the beautiful song, Take Me Back. Take Me Back. And we're praying for thousands of folk in this country and around the globe every day, that the people would be taken back to their first love, where they are praying and watching and they are excited about the Lord and what the Lord is doing and what the Lord might do. Amen, somebody. We pray every day for that. It seems that what is lacking in the church today is zeal for the Lord and his house. Too many are content to sit under unbiblical preaching. They're entertained by the television set, and they go to church wanting to be entertained, and the preacher knows it, so he puts on a show, rather than search the scriptures for themselves and see if those things are so. Too many are content to be spectators instead of being actively involved in ministry. And too many are content to give the irreplaceable leader free rein as he engages in behavior that brings shame to the name of Christ and to the church. Too many are content to let their brothers and sisters in Christ struggle alone, failing to remember that when one part of the body is suffering and is injured, the whole body is impacted. Dr. Erwin Lutzer said it this way: it is not possible for you to progress in the Christian life and be what God intended you to be without being connected to and involved in a local Bible-believing and teaching and practicing church. It is time for the ordinary Christian, if you will, to be consumed by zeal again, by passion. When you had to get back to that time, now you don't need a ride, you have a ride, but back in those days, you caught a ride. In fact, you loaded up cars and went to the house of God twice on Sunday and would not dare miss Wednesday night prayer meeting. There was a time 40 years ago, 30 years ago, where the church was packed out on Sunday for Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, and Sunday night and Wednesday. Church was a priority. Now anything goes. I'll come if I can. It is time for ordinary Christians to be consumed by zeal, by passion for the Lord and His house. Each of us must realize that we are vital to the church body, and all others in the church body are vital to our own spiritual well-being. Nobody on earth, humanly speaking, can help you like church folk. Christians, Bible-believing Christians in the church, you'll be amazed what God can do through others and what God will do through others. We are all on the old ship of Zion, and it should concern us when some are, in the words of Lutzer, drilling holes on the other end of the ship. We must keep our guard up and encourage our brothers and sisters to do the same, lest the Lord come suddenly and find His house in disarray. Our dear sister Fanny Crosby, who is now home with the Lord, and we sung one of her songs on Wednesday. I love singing the old hymns. I don't know about you. And I believe that we have some young people, such as Anthem Lights. They are reintroducing the hymns to the young people today, to the millennials. The old hymns of the faith. It's not, the hymn book is not the Bible, but she is a companion to the Bible. Fanny Crosby wrote, "When Jesus comes to reward His servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful will He find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright." Now, beloved, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not ready to die today, if you're not ready for the second coming of Christ, I urge you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today, because He is coming again, whether you believe it or not, and you do not want to be left behind. Here's how you can place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and the consequences of sin. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We all have sinned. We all have done wrong. We all need to repent. The wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. You're aging right now because of sin. You are literally dying right now because of sin. I don't care how young you are. From the Pope on down, we're sinners. Thirdly, accept the fact that because of our sin, we're on our way to a devil's hell. God did not create hell for us. He created it for the devil and his angels. However, unfortunately, if we act like the devil and look like the devil and talk like the devil and live our lives like the devil, we will go to hell with the devil. And hell is a real place, and your unbelief of that fact will not change the fact. We put people in jail for 30, 40, 50 years, and we're wicked, sinful human beings ourselves. The Pope can decry capital punishment all he wants to. We still have it in America, and we will always have it in America. We will put somebody to death if they kill their wife or their husband or their child or anybody else, especially in the state of Texas. You've got to go. And we're sinful human beings, and yet we put people out into eternity for their sins. Now, you say, "Well, I just can't believe God would put me in hell." God is not going to put you in hell. You will put yourself in hell by being disobedient to Him and not trusting Christ as Savior. Out of God's love for you, He's done everything He can do to get your soul saved from hell, and He made it very easy for you to do it. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, hell is bad news, dear friend. The lake of fire is bad news. You have it on the authority of the Word of God. But I also have some good news for you. And that's why God has sent me to you, to share with you the good news that you don't have to go to hell for eternity. You will go if you don't trust Christ as Savior, but you don't have to go. It's up to you. The ball is in your court. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you. Put your name there. Your name might be Jared. Put Jared there. Your name might be Mildred. Put Mildred there. "For God so loved Mildred. For God so loved Jared, that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ." That whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time. It means the white supremacists. It means the Black Lives Matter people. It means the Black Panthers. It means the Latin Kings and all of the wicked, evil, ungodly people in the world. Whatever your name is, God is talking to you. "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And when you trust Christ as Savior, He'll change your heart. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him. The only reason why I'm not all up in arms about the racism in our country and all caught up in certain groups that promote blackness, and I'm not all caught up in trying to defend myself from the white supremacists, is because I know for a fact that Jesus Christ is the answer. I know for a fact that if you trust Christ as Savior, be you black or white, He'll change your heart. Because I used to be like that. I wanted to be a civil rights activist before I got saved. I wanted to be like Jesse Jackson before I got saved. But the Lord came into my heart and gave me His love for all people, and He'll do the same for you. People who are going to be fighting and marching this weekend, all of that wickedness is rooted in pride and stubbornness. And these people, no matter how much they say they are Christians, they're not. They have never been born again, because Christ will change your heart. And He will put love in your heart for all people. So don't get caught up in what's happening in this world. Get caught up in Christ. Trust Christ as Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. And there are millions of white people and millions of black people and yellow people and red people who will tell you that they ain't mad at nobody. They love everybody, and they want everybody to know somebody who can save anybody. His name is Jesus. So pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, dear friend, to save your soul today, and He will. For here's the word of God on it, Romans 10:9-13, that if thou, you, shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ as Savior today. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to speak in some unknown tongue to be saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand to be saved. You don't have to give any money to be saved. We're not going to ask you for $1,000 offering today. There won't be any riots here today at this church, in this ministry. We won't even ask you for a $300 offering. We won't even ask you for a $30 offering. And by the looks of some of you, you don't have $30 anyway. We won't even ask you for a $3 offering. We're not going to do that. We never have done that. And we're not going to do that now. And no, I do not drive a Bentley. So you don't have to support an extravagant lifestyle. None of that will save you. Giving your money will not save your soul. Doing good works, feeding the hungry, it's a good thing to do, but it will not save you. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, for He paid it all, as the hymn writer said. So if you're ready to trust Christ as Savior in your heart, I am willing and ready to lead you in prayer as someone led me some 40 years ago. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. I'm going to help you with the prayer called the sinner's prayer. It's very simple and very short. And as long as you're believing in Jesus Christ that He suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, God will hear your prayers and answer your prayers and save your soul today. So repeat after me, phrase by phrase. I'll give you time to repeat it after me and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before. I've dishonored and disrespected my parents before. I've taken your holy name in vain before. and I've stolen things before. I've also lusted and coveted human beings and things that don't belong to me. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today and help me to repent of my sins past and help me to turn from my evil ways and help me to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and the lake of fire, and you're on your way to heaven by the grace of God, not by works that you have done, not because of anything you have done or given, only by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's hard to get your head around it, but that's the way it is. So welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.